CTV.
Did you know that the Israelites of old were so wicked, so nasty, so spiritually perverted, not all of them, that they would sacrifice their sons and daughters, their own children, to false gods? Yes, they would throw their children into fires to appease these false gods because the people apparently were idiotic. They were spiritual perverts, they were superstitious, and they did not believe the words of the true God. I mean, what was the first commandment for them? Thou shalt have no false gods before me? What was he supposed to say? That includes Baal and Molech. Are you supposed to mention them by names? You would think that the people would get it. They didn't. And just when you think that we might be in a more sophisticated era, Martin, at least nothing like that is happening today. No, it's even worse. It's even worse today. I said worse. This is Martin Zender broadcasting from my laundry room here in South Florida, specifically Fort Lauderdale. How could it be worse today? Because today we have a bunch of spiritual perverts called Christians who, although they are not tossing their children to Baal, they are sacrificing on the altar of their own ignorance most of creation to Satan, because this gaggle of spiritual perverts actually believes that God will torment most of his creation in hell for eternity. And they will cite certain scriptural passages that, if they are mistranslated, if you squinted and you kind of looked at it sideways, you might be able to see some suggestion of it. But of course, the normal mind, the non-perverted mind, would say, ooh, this is kind of disturbing. It can't mean what it looks like it might be saying, so I'm going to check this out. I'm going to look at some critical words in a concordance. I am going to check other passages. Here's some passages that also that seem to say God is going to reconcile all things to himself, or that Jesus Christ is that God is the Savior of all humanity, and that Jesus Christ, through his blood, is going to reconcile things in the heaven and things on the earth to himself. Jeez, how do these passages line up with other passages? There seems to be something. I know, I'm going to delve into it. But no, they don't do that. They don't do that because in their heart of hearts, they like the idea of their enemies getting tormented for eternity. This is sick, and it's even sicker than sacrificing your children to Moloch. How can I say that? Good question. Like this, because when you throw children into the fire, as horrible as that is, they die. Eternal torment is infinitely worse because the people who are being tormented are miraculously kept alive. Martin, you got to be kidding about all this. Israelites never did anything like this. All right, I'm going to read you a passage from Jeremiah. And I'm going to read this because I want you to compare it to two things. I want you to compare it to the worst thing that we in our so-called modern world can imagine. We look back in history, and besides these pseudo-spiritual people throwing their children into fires to worship a false god, in more recent times, what is the sickest thing we can think of? It is Nazi Germany and the Holocaust, racial cleansing. Thinking yourself so superior and that you have to exterminate an entire race of people because they're not up to your standards. That is sick. And we all know about the Holocaust. And in my recent newsletter, it's the ZWTF 8.18. The title of this newsletter is The Education and Training of Modern Day Eichmanns. I do a study on Adolf Eichmann, who was one of the architects of the Holocaust. And I actually compare his work to the work of Christianity. Christians, specific Christians, who teach eternal torment, who teach with not one sign of pain or not one sign of regret or not one flinch. They will adamantly and consistently teach the eternal torment of even their own parents, their own grandparents, their own children, and they will do it with not a flinch of concern of like, oh, this is terrible. No, they have been indoctrinated into a cult. And this is the analogy I made in my newsletter that the cult of Nazi Germany is quite similar. Oh, yes, quite similar. And the brainwashing of Nazi Germany, quite similar to the brainwashing required in the Christian religion in order to stoically face the very concept that God could be an eternal tormentor, not even Hitler tormented anyone for eternity, not Eichmann, not Himmler, none of the architects of the Holocaust could do that. The Jews, although tortured horribly, most of them eventually died. There was an end to their pain and their anguish. Not the Christian God. Oh no. He takes torment to the next level and miraculously keeps people alive so that they can suffer. Wait, he keeps them alive forever so that they might enjoy the happiness of heaven? No. No, the Christian God keeps them alive forever so that they can be tormented forever and have no hope whatsoever of coming out of it. At least the Jews had some hope that maybe they will get out. Maybe today's the day that the Allies will come and rescue them. Maybe today's the day we will die and get out of this hellhole. At least they had that. At least they had that. Seriously, that's something. Right? Everybody who's alive at least has hope in their hearts that things will change. Something will be different. If you're sick, if your children are sick, if you're in a situation with your job or with your spouse, okay, well, this could change, right? You have some little lightning bug of optimism in your heart. That things could change, could get better, could. People in eternal torment don't have that because they know that this is going to last forever and there'll be no relief and no end. How delicious. How sick. It takes brainwashing to be able to swallow it and to teach it. I mean, complete brainwashing, where your old frame of reference, that is the way you used to think of love, for instance, love of a parent. God gives us parents and grandparents to teach us about His love for His offspring. But when you're indoctrinated into a foreign cult and you begin worshiping a foreign god, this frame of reference must be killed and destroyed and substituted with a new frame of reference. And the new frame of reference is that love can now include, in fact, the love of God can now include His eternal torment of His enemies. For the Nazis, the enemies were those of an inferior race, inferior blood. For God, His enemies are those of inferior belief. The Nazis called the extinguishing of the Jews the final solution to the Jewish problem. For the Christian God, small g God, this is the final solution of the unbeliever problem. What are we going to do with these unbelievers? They must be eliminated. If only. No. No. We're going to set it up. We're going to perform special miracles, say the Christian God and the Christian Christ, small g, small c. We're going to perform special miracles to make sure that these people remain alive so that they might suffer forever. In spite of our attempt to save them. God says to Christ, I sent you to the cross to save humanity, but I had no idea that these people were gonna be so stubborn. Ladies and gentlemen, in a day not far from ours, the Christian religion is going to be decimated and destroyed, and it is going to be made a byword. The word Christian will come to be hissed at and reviled and spit on, justifiably, just as the term Nazi is today. You hear the word Nazi today. What's the worst thing you can say to somebody today? You're a Nazi. You crazy Nazi. Well, to me, the term Christian is just as deplorable, unwanted, a term which I continually divorce myself from. To me, it's right up there with Nazi. It's worse because of the eternal torment factor, the final solution to the unbeliever problem, as opposed to God being the Savior of all humanity and through the blood of His Son, eventually reconciling all creation to Himself, that He might be all in all, and that all of His offspring might one day, in the fullness of time, come through the blood of Christ and by no other means, come to, at last, fellowship with their Creator. This is a beautiful ending to the story of creation, and it is true. And there are many scriptures that testify to this. And the scriptures that seem to testify to the eternal torment of most of creation, they are bad translations or a misunderstanding of a parable for literal truth. They can be easily shown to be, you see where you missed that translation? Oh, yeah. You see where you took this literally and it's a figure of speech? Oh, yeah. Okay, now everything is going to make sense to you. Eternal torment is false. It's a doctrine of demons. But back to the worship of Baal. These early Israelites used to toss their sons and daughters. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. I'll tell you what God did. I will read it here. You'll see what God did with those people and their ideas about sacrificing their children. And I will draw the analogy again between those people and people today who do worse than sacrifice their children. They put their own family members in hell. Well, mom wasn't a believer, so I guess she's burning in hell right now. You're not even going to flinch? You're not even going to show any emotion? No, because emotions have been driven out of you by the cult of Christianity. Same thing happened with Adolf Eichmann. Any emotion he once had about these Jews, he at first had a problem with it, but he eventually came to, that's just what happens. That just, it's a necessity. It's a necessary evil for the good of the Reich, for the good of the coming German kingdom. Yes, we must eliminate the undesirables and make everything pure and good. This is the Christians' idea as well. Yes, their idea is right along there with the Nazi idea. We have to make everything pure and good. And we know that there are just some people who are just plain bad. And they can't believe in God. They don't believe in God. What the hell's wrong with these people? Even though Romans 11:32 says it is God who locks up all together in stubbornness so that He can show mercy to all. Read that verse for yourself. It doesn't say so that He can torment them for eternity. No, He's eventually going to have mercy on them. But the Nazis had to eliminate an entire race. And the Christians have to eliminate an entire group of people called unbelievers. It's called the problem of the unbelievers. And there's a final solution to it. We're going to put them all in hell and burn them for eternity. And God looks upon this. And He says what He said to the Israelites through Jeremiah. He says to Christians what He said to the Israelites in Jeremiah. And I'm going to read that now. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 19, starting with verse 4. Because they have forsaken me and are making this place foreign and are fuming incense in it to other gods that they have not known, they or their fathers or the kings of Judah, and they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. And because they have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire as a scent offerings to Baal, which I did not instruct, nor even speak of, nor did it come upon my heart. Didn't tell them to do this. I didn't speak of it. I didn't teach it. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, averring is Yahweh. To aver, this is a literal translation I'm reading from, to aver, to state strongly. The day's coming when this place where you burn these children shall no longer be called Topheth, or the ravine of the son of Hinnom. This is where they did it, in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, today called the valley of Gehenna, but rather the ravine of killing. And listen to this, I will void, says God, I will void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will make them fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those seeking their soul. And I will give their carcasses as food for the flyer. Yay, I like this. I really like this. This is not eternal torment, by the way. This is judgment. This is, you're going to stop this. This ends here. This sacrifice business, this worshiping false gods, it's over now. It's over now. You're all going to die, and the birds are going to eat your flesh. Ben Martin Zen, that you believe in the salvation of all. Yes, this is a temporary judgment. The judgment must be made. These people have to get a taste of their own medicine. Oh, you're going to sacrifice your kids to Baal? Okay, in the fire? All right, how do you like this fire? Yeah, get a taste of your own medicine. Hey, Eichmann, you liked killing Jews? Well, how do you like this? We're going to hang you and kill you. Eichmann hid for 20 years after the war in Buenos Aires. The Israel people found him. They went after him, found him. They hung him by the neck until dead. Didn't take long. How do you like that? You get a taste of your own medicine. Eichmann will one day rise again on the Great White Throne. He'll learn what he did wrong. You bad boy, don't do that again. Adolf, lights out again, because his name's probably not written in the Book of Life. Off to the second death, more sleep. And then, at the consummation, reconciled to God, the guy's finally changed. And you know what? Christians, these evil, spiritual perverts, will one day be changed themselves. Oh yes, they'll be changed eventually. But first they have to be judged. They have to go through, they have to get a taste of their own medicine. And they will. Because God says, I will void the councils of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. He's going to void the councils, that is, the false teachings of Christianity. Yes, I will make them fall by the sword. Sorry, yeah. Death is coming to the Christian religion through the traumas, the bowls, the thunders, the lightnings of the tribulation. As I've been telling you, and they're going to die by the hand of those seeking their soul. I will give their carcasses as food for the flyer of the heavens and for the beast of the earth. I will make this city. I love this part. This is my favorite part. I love this part. I will make this city an object of astonishment and a hissing. Everyone passing by it shall be appalled and shall hiss at all of its smitings. I will feed them the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and each one shall eat the flesh of his associate. It goes on and goes on. I don't like that part that much, but I do love this part. I'm going to say it again. I'll make this city an object of astonishment and a hissing. Everyone passing by it will be appalled and will hiss at it because it has been so destroyed. The Third Reich was supposed to be this great thing. It was supposed to be a thousand-year Reich, or the Germans were going to rule the world. Well, we wouldn't have it, right? The United States, in fact, it recently had the 75th anniversary of D-Day. We said, no, you're not going to take over the world, Adolf Hitler. You're not going to kill a bunch of people and set yourself up as the king of the world. We're going to stop you. We stormed the beaches of Normandy, France, and we moved in and strangled that little German motherfucker, and he killed himself, couldn't handle it. And the Russians came from the east. We came from the west, squeezed him, Hitler, and his mistress, Eva Braun. So the Third Reich, the Reichstag in Berlin, totally destroyed by fire, decimated. What happened to your thousand-year kingdom, Adolf? Yeah, it got destroyed. Christianity, the religion, is also going to be destroyed. Oh, look at its fine buildings. Look at the Reichstag. Look how beautiful it is. Oh, look at the uniforms of the SS. How handsome, how pretty. That little skull on the hat. Ooh, we love that. The swastika. Ah, that's beautiful. How do you like it now? It's going to be decimated and destroyed. Look at these churches. Aren't they wonderful? Look at all the organizations. I love the songs. Oh, God, I love to sing. I love to sing. Look at the altars. Look at the music. Oh, my God, they got such a great band here. It rivals any band I saw at the club downtown. It's great. Jesus. It's all going to be destroyed. And people are going to look back on it, and they're going to see the destruction of these buildings, these false buildings, false places of worship where they teach the teachings of humans instead of the truth of God. And people are going to go hiss at it, and they're going to look with appalling sickness and, oh, that was so horrible. How could we have stood that? How could we have stood that? Same with the Germans. They look back, most of them, and they go, God, how could we ever have bought into Hitler? It's horrible. Thank God that it was totally destroyed. So the people now in Christianity who think it's great, eternal torment of God's enemies, the final solution of the unbeliever problem, yeah, it's great. No, these people are going to look back in history after Christianity is destroyed. When they look back during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, they're going to look back and say, oh my God, how did we ever think that that was a workable religion? How did we ever think that God was behind eternal torment? And people, the name Christian will become a byword, and it will become something to hiss at. It will be something to be appalled at. You're going to walk past the ruins of the Crystal Cathedral. You're going to walk past the ruins of St. Peter's Cathedral, or is it St. Paul's, in London, or St. Peter's at the Vatican. The entire Vatican complex will be crushed. Joel Osteen's church will be crushed. The First Baptist Church of what the hell ever will be crushed. And people walk by the fragments and hiss at it and say, thank God that was destroyed. Well, guess what? That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. And if you're in it, if you're in the Third Reich, if you're one of these Nazis, if you're one of these Christians, get the hell out now, because judgment is coming. The Russians are coming from the East, the Allies are coming from the West, and you're screwed.